And this morning, God is challenging you, and I hope this is going to be a special morning for you as you look to the future and for the incredible things God has in store for us. His plan is to have a church who is going to reign with Him. That's His plan. But my friend, He's saying it's this type of church is a church that needs to make up its mind to decide, are you going to be hot or are you going to be cold? It's time to stop sitting on the fence. It's time for your friends to know that you belong to Jesus.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In the first part of his message we heard last week, Pastor Brian Grant showed how the coming kingdom of Christ fulfills the detailed promises found in the ancient prophets. This week, Pastor Grant will describe what the scriptures have to say about the characteristics of the kingdom of Christ and who it is that will participate in it. Please rejoin us now by turning in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24 and verse 31, as Pastor Grant concludes this message, Thy Kingdom Come. Pastor Grant.
A couple weeks ago, I shared with you that part of the purpose of the tribulation was to prepare the Jews for the kingdom of Christ, for their Messiah. You see, up to now, the Jews by and large have not responded to the Messiah, right? You know that. The average Jew, as far as they are concerned, they have nothing to do with Christ. Yes, there are small pockets here and there who have accepted Jesus, but yet God promised the Jews an earthly blessing. And one of the things that God is going to do during the tribulation, He is actually going to go specially to prepare the Jews, to bring the Jews to respond and to accept their Messiah. And I shared with you some weeks ago that one of the ways He's going to do it, He's going to commission 144,000 Jews. And I shared with you the 144,000 is not what some people may say who may come to your door and let you know there's only 144,000 seats in heaven. That is not the case. There are 144,000 Jews that the Bible said who God is going to use to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. And we went into what is the difference between the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of grace. Because I shared with you that the gospel we preach today is not the gospel of the kingdom. You got to go check that message out so you will get it. But as a result of this message, and as a result of the great tribulation they will face, many Jews will realize their mistake and they will turn to their Messiah. And at the beginning of the millennial reign, Jews from all over the world will be brought to the land of Palestine to greet their Messiah and enjoy His glorious reign. And both the covenants I mentioned will be fulfilled because Jesus Christ, David's greatest son, will reign on that throne. Amen. The Palestinian covenant will be fulfilled as they will control the entire land area that God had prophesied to them. So part of the millennium, the tribulation is to prepare the Jews. But the one for sure, some of the folks, a lot of the people who will be there in the kingdom are the Jews. Amen? Now, here's another thing though that's going to be there. Don't miss this one. Because this has to do with the scripture we read this morning. Nations who are kind to Israel during the tribulation will also be there. And we just read Matthew 21. Our brother Caruth read for us Matthew 25, 31 to 46. And one of the things I want to point out to you, my brothers and sisters, is that this passage in Matthew 21, Matthew 25, 31, is often taken out of context. Because sometimes we use the scripture to say that you should be kind to your neighbor. And God will bless you because you blessed your neighbor. Now, God, it is good to be kind to your neighbor. But it is important that we realize that this particular scripture has nothing to do with your being kind to your neighbor. It's a good application, but that's not what the scripture is talking about. You see, here's what the scripture is talking about. It is describing Jesus sitting on his millennial throne, judging the nations. Isn't that what your Bible said in Matthew's Gospel chapter 25? Let's just peek there again in Matthew 25, verse 31. Matthew 25, 31, it says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them." What is being described here, don't miss this. Jesus is telling us that the decision as to which Gentile nations and individuals enter the kingdom, are you still awake? The decision as to which Gentile nations and individuals enter his kingdom is based on whether or not they showed kindness to the Jews during the tribulation. I don't want you to miss that, because this passage is usually totally misunderstood. This passage is clearly talking about Jesus sitting on his millennial throne. And the nations are brought before him. And he makes a decision. Remember now, the whole passage, this whole Olivet discourse is all talking about Bible prophecy. 24 and 25 is prophetic stuff. And he's telling us what's going to happen. You remember that we saw some weeks ago, there's a 7-year tribulation. But in the last 3.5-year period, the Bible tells us that Israel will come under intense persecution. In fact, the Bible says, here's what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that if those days were not shortened, remember we read that in Matthew 24? It says if those days were not shortened, it's doubtful any of the elect would survive. Do you know what that, do you realize that it seems as if the daylight hours are going to be shortened? I don't know for a fact, but that's what it appears during that period. And in the midst of the persecution, as Israel is running and crying to the rocks to fall on them, as they are running for their lives, there are going to be those who will show kindness to the Jews. And the Bible says in Joel chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, 500 or so years earlier, the prophet Joel had prophesied that in those days, and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I will put them on trial for what they did to my inheritance, my people, Israel. It does matter how we treat Israel. Now, the Western world has started turning its back. I shared with you that Cheryl and I, we were on our vacation recently in Europe, and it was so clear, the trends, the tide is blowing against Israel. The wind is blowing against Israel. And I shared with you in one of the messages that how shocking it was to me to hear a member of parliament, one of the British member of parliament, to say that his territory has become a Jewish free zone. "We don't want any Jews here," he said. "We don't want no Jewish businesses. We don't want any Jewish academics." He says, "We don't want any Jewish investors. And we certainly don't want any Jewish tourists." There's an anti-Israel sentiment spreading, sadly, even in some churches. But those of us, listen to me good. Because I know politics is starting to make some of us wonder, do we still support Israel or not? I want you to know, I want you to hear me good. Israel is God's earthly chosen people. And here's what my Bible says, that God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse." Do you hear what I'm saying? God has promised a blessing to those who bless Israel. And yes, Israel is not perfect, and Israel does some mighty bad things too. By the way, over history, God has had to judge them. Listen, but let God do the judging. God has beaten them up, left side, right side, round side, put them in captivity, made them slaves. He has done all sorts of stuff to them. But my duty as a Christian is to recognize that God blesses. Listen, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And I am not going to let God curse me. I am going to be, as the Bible says, I will pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen. But third, the tribulation saints are going to be also there. The tribulation saints, Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, the Bible says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads are in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Listen, there are some people who are going to die during the tribulation because of faith in God, and God is letting us know he's going to raise them, and they will also be there in the millennium. But what I really came here to talk about a little bit this morning, the church is going to be there. Those of us who know Jesus, we're going to be there. And last week, I shared with you that we're not only going to be there, we're going to be there to reign. Look at what Revelation chapter 20 verse 6 says. Revelation chapter 20 verse 6 says, "Blessed and holy," I think it's on the board, "blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power." But listen to this part. "But they will be priests of God and of Christ." And read the last part. What is it? "And they shall" what? "And they shall reign with him 1,000 years. The church is going to be there. But the church is not just going to be there as a participant. The church is going to be there reigning with Christ. We're going to reign with Christ. Prince Rudolph and sister, Princess Juanita, and all these princes and princesses. What an incredible honor. But do you know, there's something I want us to do, though, in light of that. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, the Lord says, it says, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." Jesus is saying, there are some of us he's going to give the right to sit with him on his throne. Isn't that special? What a privilege. But you know, before Jesus said this, there's some stuff he said that I don't want us to miss. So turn with me. Stay right there in Revelation chapter 3 and look at verse number 15. Here's what he says. Jesus is writing to this church in Laodicea. And before he talks to them about them sitting on his throne, he had some pretty stern words. And I believe this morning, even as we look to what God has in store for us, it's important that we don't miss this. He says here, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot." I wish you were cold or hot. I wish you'd make up your mind. I wonder if this morning, I'm going to continue reading in a minute, but let me just stop here. Is it possible that I'm speaking to somebody who knows Jesus, but you won't make up your mind? You're half in and you're half out. Jesus is saying to you, "I wish you would make up your mind. I wish you were either cold or hot." Some of us only want enough religion to make it to heaven. "God, all I want is to know that I'll be there. So my only interest is to receive you as my Savior." And God is saying to you, "You make me sick to my stomach." Isn't that what he says in the next verse? He says, "So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." What an incredible picture God is putting before us this morning. And my friend, if you're here and you're one of these lukewarm Christians, it's time to make up your mind. And this morning, God is challenging you, and I hope this is going to be a special morning for you as you look to the future and for the incredible things God has in store for us. His plan is to have a church who is going to reign with Him. That's His plan. But my friend, He's saying it's this type of church is a church that needs to make up its mind to decide, are you going to be hot or are you going to be cold? It's time to stop sitting on the fence. It's time for your friends to know that you belong to Jesus. It's time is running out. You don't have all the time in the world. And I'm challenging you, my friend, young person, an older person, if you know Jesus, it's time for you to come and say, God, I'm sorry that I have been one of those that have been lukewarm. And this morning, I'm going to ask you to come and do a work in my heart. Listen, look at this incredible picture that is painted for us in this chapter, in chapter 3 of Revelation, verse number 20. Do you see what Jesus is saying? This is such a shocking picture that God is saying, behold, He's talking to Christians. And He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Oh my, sometimes we use this for the unsaved, but this passage is really directed to the believer. And He's saying that God is saying, why have you locked me out? Do you know it's possible to be a Christian and you have locked Him out? And the God of the universe this morning is saying to somebody here today, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. Would to God that this morning we'll say, come on in, Jesus. I don't want you to be an outsider. I want you to be an insider. And He says, listen, if you open the door, I will come in and sup with you. Listen, we're running around. Here's the sad part. People are running around lukewarm, running around trying to find satisfaction, trying to find pleasure, and missing their source, the greatest source of pleasure, the greatest source of satisfaction is Jesus Christ. And He's saying, listen, if you would just open the door, I will come in and sup with you. Can you imagine? I want to have fellowship. I want to dine with you. And oh, my friend, it is my prayer and my hope that this morning you will say yes to Jesus. Come on in, Jesus. The church will be there.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's message. You can listen to or download this broadcast or view a DVD of the complete message by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
A father is the irreplaceable cornerstone of the family, a man whose example gives his children direction and sets the standard for generations to come. He's a counselor, a husband, a protector, a provider, and a friend. This Father's Day, please come and join us for a special Father's Day service as we recognize our earthly fathers and give honor and praise to our Heavenly Father who have blessed us with their presence. Our worship service begins at 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you then.
As a teenager, I'm excited to invite you to our new season of Tuesday Night Connections. The program includes the whole family with clubs for youth and kids, as well as 4 Bible studies for adults to choose from. Free dinner and childcare are also provided. You don't want to miss this. For details, call our office at 215-242-5550. Again, 215-242-5550. Now, let's rejoin Pastor Grant as he concludes today's message.
There's going to be a change in nature. Did you know that? I'll let you read it when you get home, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6 to 9. It talks about all the changes. It's almost like we're going to be back to what it was like before the fall. In fact, some of these animals, like the lion, who is a meat eater, the lion is going to become a herb eater in the millennium. And that's why the lion and the lamb can lie down together, because the lion has no desire for the lamb. He just wants some grass. A little child will lead him. Child will play with the snake. Changes is going to happen. In this 1,000-year period, there's going to be a change in nature, but there's going to be an increase of lifespan. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 20, and it says here, never again, it's on your screen, never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be a baby. I wonder what I am. Brother Dar, don't remind me what I am. The one who dies at 100 will be just a bare child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. There's going to be all these changes in this millennium. It's going to be a time of peace. Micah chapter 4 verse 3 says, they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation. We won't have to be sending our boys over to Syria and Iran and all these places, because nations will not be taking up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. It's a time of peace. And Jesus shall reign supreme. Zechariah 14:9. The Lord will be king over the whole earth. On that day there will be one Lord, and in his name, the only name, thy kingdom come. It's coming. The utopia that men and women have dreamt about is coming. It's coming. It's coming. But guess what? It's going to come as a thief in the night. Matthew 24. Final scripture for the day. Matthew 24, verse 43 and 44. Hear what my Bible says. But know this. That if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken. If you knew the thief was coming at 2 o'clock, you'd go home. But here's what he says. Listen good. Jesus is speaking. And Jesus says, therefore, you also need to be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Did you hear that? Jesus says, you need to be ready. What did the choir sing? I pray we'll all be ready. You need to be what? Ready. For in such an hour you think not, the Son of Man is coming. I need to ask you, are you really ready? Come on now. Are you really ready? You say, Brother Brian, how can I know that I'm ready? You can only be ready if you're born again. How does that happen? It happens when you come to Jesus and say, God, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I am willing to tell you and acknowledge it. I am a sinner. But I thank you that Jesus died for me. Would you come into my heart? Would you cleanse me? God, I'm turning from my sin and I want you in my life. I want you to be my Lord. If you do that, you'd be ready. So my prayer this morning, that you will say, yes, Jesus, I want to be ready. Come into my heart today. We used to sing a little song when I was a kid. Into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, I'm praying that you'll do that. And if you're a Christian, you've been one of those lukewarm, you talk to him.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.